And last week, we talked about Ephesians chapter 4. We went through verses 13 to 15, and we're going to pick up again at the end of verse number 15. Well, maybe we should just read the whole passage. Go back to verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We spoke about that probably about a month ago now, that God gave these men to teach people, to do the work of the ministry, to mature believers, to do the work of the ministry. And then this should be the result. Verses 13 and 14 and 15 should be the result that we see in the local New Testament Baptist church. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. And so we saw those things, and we looked at that all last week and saw these things should be the result of the ministry of those who are maturing us and equipping us for the work of the ministry. That should be the result. And then he tells us this week in verses 15 and 16 how the body grows, okay? How the body grows. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, verse 16 is a mouthful. You read through verse 16 and it's like, what is that really trying to say? And you have to go back and you have to read it slowly and think about it. And that's what we're going to break down today. What is verse 16 trying to tell us? It says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. How the body grows. How the body grows. Let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless the sermon this morning, and then we'll get right into it. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, Lord, we love you, and Lord, we thank you for the day today, Lord. We thank you that we have the Silversons here with us from Community Baptist Church up in Chelsea, and Lord, we pray that you would just give us a good time of fellowship with them after the service, Lord, and as we get to know them a little bit, Lord. And Lord, we pray before that, though, that you would bless the sermon this morning. Lord, we thank you for what we've already sung this morning, how we sang, "Hear my Lord, send me, Lord." And we thought about the fact that you are looking to send people to share the gospel. But Lord, this passage today is talking to us about how the body can grow. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to understand that this morning. Lord, we'll see in just a few moments that everybody, every person has a role to play in helping the body grow. And Father, I pray that you would help us to do our parts. I pray, Father, that you would open our ears to hear, Lord, that we would open our minds to receive this morning, Lord, that we would open our hearts to receive your word. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, that you would convict us, Lord, in areas that we need to improve, Lord, and you would convict us of things we need to put out of our lives, Lord, and you would just challenge us to grow, Lord, both individually and as a church. And I pray, Father, that all that is said and done this morning would bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, Lord, that he would lift, that he would be lifted up, that he could draw men unto himself. And I pray, Father, that you would just bless this time that we have together this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, growth is a normal process in the natural world. God has programmed growth into every aspect of life on earth. We've seen it in our church. Babies are born, and what do? They grow up. Jeremiah was, I think, the first baby born after we started the church, and Jeremiah was born in November a year and a half ago now, and now he's running around and making noise and doing. Growth is a natural process. Some natural process of life on earth. Babies are born and grow. Some animals hatch from eggs and grow. We, Christian, talked about seeing the egg sorting machine this week. Chickens come from eggs and they grow. And I have a picture of Christian and Samuel both mesmerized by this egg counting machine. They're both just like completely enthralled with it. But anyway, chickens, some animals hatch from eggs and grow. Plants sprout from seeds and grow. Those of you who know me know that I like to plant a garden. I like to grow flowers. I like to grow vegetables. And you plant a seed and it grows. And so growth is God's natural plan for life here on earth, whether it's human life or animal life or plant life. Now, in order for growth to take place, there have to be a few necessities present. For growth to happen, there have to be some necessities in place. You have to have proper nutrition, okay? You have to have access to water. There is no life without water, okay? You have to have access to water. And you have to have the proper environmental conditions in order for growth to be facilitated and growth to take place. If there's no access to these necessities, growth will either be hindered or growth will be non-existent. And in extreme cases, death will ensue, okay? 3 weeks ago, I planted a tray of flower seeds, and I watered them, and they all sprouted nicely, and I drowned them, and they're all dead now because I watered them too much, okay? So these all the things have to be in place, all the requirements have to be there, and they have to be there in the proper proportion in order for things to grow. And in this passage, we find that Paul gives us one primary requirement for growth in the church. In verses 15 and 16, Paul tells us there is one primary requirement if growth is going to take place in the church. And just as physical growth cannot take place without water or food, there's one essential ingredient that is necessary for the New Testament church to function and grow. If you're missing this ingredient, it will not grow, or it will not grow properly. And in fact, if you're missing this ingredient, if it's a biblical church, it will die because it won't really be a biblical church. The one thing that you need is this. In order for the body to function and grow, it must be attached to the head. In order for the body to function and grow, it must be attached to the head. And he tells us in verse 15, what is the head? The head is Jesus Christ. If the body is going to function and grow like it should, it must be attached to the head. Now, let's consider this morning two types of growth that Paul is mentioning in these verses. Two types of growth that we see in these two verses. Go back to verse number 15. Speaking about maturity that we should see in the church, he says this, but speaking the truth in love. That's the last point that we saw last week. The last sign of maturity in the church, growth in the church, spiritual growth in the church. But speaking the truth in love, he says, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Which is the head, even Christ. Now, the first thing we see is individual growth. Individual growth. Your personal growth and my personal growth. That's the first level of growth Paul is talking about here. Now, last week we saw that there were five different areas where the church should be developing, where the church should be maturing. When it's being equipped and when it's serving together and when it's edifying one another. These are the five areas we should see. Unity. We should see knowledge of the Son of God. We should see spiritual maturity. We should see doctrinal soundness. And we should see genuine love, speaking the truth in love. Those are the five areas that we should see development in the church. And then at the end of verse number 15, Paul tells us that the cumulative result of all of this is that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The cumulative result of all of that is that we should grow up into Christ in all things. That's what you and I should be doing on an individual level. You and I should be becoming more like Jesus Christ. We should be growing up into Christ. Sometimes you see people, and they are the spitting image of their parents. And when the child grows up, you can say, wow, I know who his father is because he looks just like him. I know who her mother is. She looks just like her mother. She's grown up into that person. She's become just like that person. And that's what Paul is saying here. that we should develop to be like Christ. We should grow up into him in all things. Now, this is similar to what Paul has already said in verse number 13. Go back to verse number 13. He says this, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And he says this, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's already alluded to the fact that we should be becoming more like Jesus Christ. That we should, we called it last week, spiritual maturity. We should be becoming more like Jesus Christ. It's God's plan that every believer should be like Jesus Christ. That is God's plan. And if you're a believer, here's the deal. You don't really have any choice. You're going to be like Christ. That's what God says, and we'll look at it in just a minute. But it's God's plan for every believer that we would become like Jesus Christ, that we would grow up into him in all things. The Bible tells us, go to Romans 8:29. The Bible tells us that God has foreordained that every person who is a believer in Christ will become like Christ. That's why I say you have no choice. If you're a believer, if you're a born-again believer this morning, you're going to become like Jesus Christ, whether you like it or not. Now, if you're truly a born-again believer, you should like it. Okay, there's probably not too many truly born-again believers that don't want to become like Christ. It just makes sense. It makes logical sense. But you're going to become more like Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29. It says this, For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. Okay, let's read it again. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. It does not say for whom he did foreknow, those he predestinated to be saved. That's not what he says. He says those he did foreknow, he predestinated them that they would be conformed to the image of his Son. Those people that God foreknew, he predestinated that they would become like Jesus Christ. God, before the world began, before you were saved, before I was saved, he decided that every person who trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior was going to be conformed to the image of Christ. Every person who trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior were going to become more like Jesus Christ. That's what that verse means. And so when he tells us in Ephesians that the ultimate goal is that we would grow up into him in all things, this is what he's talking about, that we would become more like Jesus Christ. In other words, that we would grow to be like him. This is the process that you sometimes hear referred to as sanctification. It is the process of maturing. It is the process of putting sin out of your life. It is the process of becoming more like Jesus. And Paul reminds us here, back in our text of Ephesians 4:15, that if we're maturing as we're supposed to, we will grow up into him in all things. We, in all aspects of our life, it is a comprehensive Christ-likeness. It says, in all things. It doesn't say just in certain aspects of your life. It says in all things. You're going to be like Jesus Christ in all things, in the way that Jesus loved people, in the way that Jesus sacrificed for people, in the way that Jesus was generous towards people. We will become like him in all areas of our life. We will grow up to be like him and resemble him because he is our head. That's how he ends that verse. Okay? In all things, which is the head, even Christ. We will grow up to be like him because he is our head. Now, when Paul calls Jesus Christ our head, he is referring to the fact that he is the head of the church, but he's also our head as believers. He is who we should look to for leadership. He is who we should look to pattern ourselves after. Go back to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Over and over, a number of times in the New Testament, Paul makes this statement that Jesus Christ is the head. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, he says this. He says, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, So it says in verse 21 that he is exalted, that God the Father has exalted Christ the Son. And in verse 22, that he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things, which is the church. So he has given Jesus Christ to be the head of the church. And Paul repeats this in Ephesians 5:23. We don't have time to look there. And he repeats it again in Colossians 1, chapter 18, that Jesus Christ is the head. And as such, he is our leader, he is our authority, and it is him that we should take our direction from. And we should live according to his principles, both privately, individually, and corporately as a body. He is who we should be looking to. You really, honestly, should not be looking to me as the final authority, because I'm not the final authority. It's okay to look to me maybe for some leadership and some direction in things, but it's my job not to direct you to myself. It's my job to direct you to Jesus Christ. It's because he's the head, okay? And it's my job to direct you to him. It's my job while you're here on earth and while I'm here on earth to help prepare you to meet him in heaven. That's my job as a pastor, okay? It's not my job to try to ingratiate people to myself. It's not my job to try to get people to have a heart for me. It's my job to get people to have a heart for him. That's the point, because he is the head. Now, there's some things that go along with this. If Jesus Christ is supposed to be our head individually, and Jesus Christ is supposed to be our head corporately, what does that mean? We'll go to John 15:4. Jesus speaking to his disciples here. John 15, 14, and that's not the right verse either. I completely wrote it down wrong. I wrote the reference down wrong. I didn't write the verse down wrong. Somebody else can look it up and tell me what the correct reference is. But Jesus tells his disciples, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. If Jesus is supposed to be our head personally, and if Jesus is supposed to be our head corporately, did you find it? Oh, I put it backwards. 14:15. Not 15:14, 14:15. I did the same thing in Sunday school with a different verse. I swapped the numbers around. John 14:15. He says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. So what does that mean for us? If we say, well, Jesus Christ is my head. Jesus, that's who I'm trying to follow. I'm trying to be like him. God is transforming my life so I will be conformed to the image of Christ. Well, you need to be keeping his commandments. I need to be keeping his commandments. Whatever, how he says I'm supposed to live, that's how I should be living. That's what I should be doing. Go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 and 47. Jesus is again teaching his disciples here and teaching them about different things. And he says this in verse number 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's like, why do you say I'm your head and you don't do the things I tell you to do? Why do you say, Lord, Lord, you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things I say? He says, he goes on to say this, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And then he says, those that come to me and hear what I say and do them, it's like the wise man who builds his house upon the rock. And that's, you know, the rest of the parable. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. Jesus says to his disciples, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I tell you to do? So when we say that Jesus Christ is our head and that we're growing up to be like him and we're being changed into his image, the point is this, we also need to be living the way he tells us to live. If that's going to be true, we need to be doing what he tells us to do. You have to walk the walk. Your actions speak louder than your words. I call you Lord, Lord, but I'm going to go do my own thing. Your actions speak louder than your words. Why you call me Lord, but you don't do the things I tell you to do? as we grow individually, as we grow up into Christ in all things, we need to be following him. We need to be obeying him. We need to be following his lead and doing the things he tells us to do. And that's the maturity that we see in the growth in the church of verses 13 to 15. As Jesus is our head, we should follow him and obey his commandments. Becoming more like our head is a sign that we're maturing as we should. Just as I talked about a child that grows up to look like its parents, okay? We should be growing up to look like Jesus Christ, and that's a sign that we are maturing. So we see first in verse 15, individual growth. But then in verse 16, Paul talks about corporate growth. Paul talks about in verse 16, the church is a body. The church is a whole. The growth that should take place within the church when we see this maturity taking place in the church, okay? And Paul talks really about here in verse 16, he talks about spiritual growth, then he talks about really numerical growth, okay? This is verse 16, from whom the whole body, so that's a reference back to the head, okay, to Christ as the head. From whom? From the head, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So what is that verse trying to say? Well, that verse is talking about corporate growth of the body. The entire focus of this verse is that the growth of the body comes from one source. From where? From the head. From the head. From whom, it says. It's referring back to the head. It comes from one source. Paul uses the illustration that he uses actually in a number of places in the New Testament, illustrating the church as a human body, comparing the church to the human body. It says, verse 16, from whom the whole body, from the head, the body parts fit together and are ultimately attached to the head. Okay? Ultimately, my hands are attached to my head. Now, not directly. My fingers aren't always attached to my head. But through the arms, my hands are attached to my head. Ultimately, we're all attached to the head. And even better than my hands, you should have a direct attachment to the head. You should be directly attached to Jesus Christ, okay? As every part effectively carries out the work that it's designed to do, the body increases and edifies itself in love. So all the parts are connected to the head. The head hold the body is held together. That's what the word compacted is talking about here. The body's held together by the head. All the various joints are held together by the head. And as every part effectively carries out the work it's designed to do, the body increases and edifies itself in love. Now, as we've already seen, every human body requires a head. Every human body requires a head. So the church as a body has a head, Jesus Christ. And just as the human body functions at the direction of the head, so the church should function at the direction of its head. Okay? Where do all the impulses for your body come from? Science tells us that all the impulses for your body come from the brain. Now, some of them are voluntary. Some of them are involuntary. You don't have to tell your heart to beat. It just beats. But the impulse comes from the brain. You don't have to tell your lungs to breathe. They just breathe. The diaphragm moves and it just breathes. It's involuntary. But the impulse comes from the brain. But there are certain things that are voluntary. It only happens if your brain actively tells your body to do it. If I want to pick something up, I have to actively tell, my brain has to actively tell my arm to do it. It's not an involuntary thing. You have to do it on purpose. Okay? And so you have both involuntary and voluntary functions. And just as a human body functions at the direction of the brain, the church should function at the direction of Jesus Christ. Okay? The church should function at the direction of Jesus Christ. Paul makes a few points to consider here. Paul makes a few points for us to consider. Just as every part of your body is ultimately connected to your head, every part of the church body is connected to Jesus Christ. This is what he means when he uses the word from whom. that we're all connected to Jesus Christ. We all come from him. When you were born again, you weren't born again from me. You weren't born again from whoever led you to the Lord. You were born again from Jesus Christ. That's who you're from, okay? But not only are we all connected to Christ, but we're all held together by Christ. It says this, from whom, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. That's a word, compacted means here to be held together. So we're fitly joined together. We're pieced together. I like to do jigsaw puzzles. I don't know if you like to do jigsaw puzzles. The puzzles have to fit together. The pieces have to fit together just right. If the pieces don't fit together just right, the picture doesn't turn out right, okay? And it's the same in the body. He says we're fitly joined together. He's put us together a certain way. We're made to fit together. We're made to match one another, okay? The body is fitly joined together, and then it's held together. We're compacted. We're held together by Jesus Christ, by the head. So that's the first thing. But secondly, not only are we held together by Christ, but we each have a role to play. What does it say in verse 16? It says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part. Okay, so we all have a role to play. We all have a part to play. He says, by that which every joint supplieth, to the effectual working and the measure of every part. Now, Paul is saying here that every part has a role to play. That's what it, when he says, that which every joint supplieth. Whatever your role is, it's as if you are the joint. Whatever your role is, you have to supply that role. If your role is to lead the music, if God's gifted you in that area, that's not a spiritual gift, I know, but if God's gifted you in that area, then that's your role to play. You fulfill that role. If God's called you to preach, that's the role to play. You fulfill that role. Whatever your role, some of us, when we get to spiritual gifts, some of us have the gift of service. We like to serve other people. Some of us have the gift of mercy, and we fulfill that role. That's the part which our joint supplies to the body. That's the part that our joint gives to the body, okay? And every part needs to play its role well. Not only do we have a role to play, but we need to play it well. How does he describe that? He says, the effectual working in the measure of every part. The effectual working. Not only do your part, but do your part effectively. Do your part well. Effectual, the effectual working in the measure of every part. Okay, not just, you know, well, I gave it a shot. No, do your part well. The effectual working. Now, we've spoken about this in previous sermons, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul gives this, this long text about the body. Comparing, I told you he uses this illustration a few times. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, he starts out with this illustration about the body. He says, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So he says, as the body is one and has many members, just like the human body. I am one body, but I have arms, and I have legs, and I have hands, and I have feet. I'm one body, but I have many members, okay, of that one body. And although there are many members, there's only one body. He says, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Okay, now he's speaking about the body, the spiritual body, not my physical body, but the body of Christ. If the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were the hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. Upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So Paul is telling us here that every member is a part of the body, and that every body part has a role to play in the body. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you, get out of here. The eye can't say to the hand, you know what? I don't like you, I don't care for you, your hands are ugly, get out of here. No, you're all part of the body. The eye can't say I don't have a need for you. The head can't say I don't have a need for you. The foot can't say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not going to cooperate. I want to be a hand, and if you don't let me be a hand, I'm not doing my part. No. Paul says we all have to work together. We all have to work together. I'm not part of this body. They won't let me be a foot. I'm not part of this body. No. Paul says you're part of the body. Now, this is the same truth that Paul is conveying in Ephesians. Every joint supplies some ability, and there should be effectual working in every measure of every, in the measure of every part. Every part should do its job. Now, in Ephesians, Paul is likely kind of referring back to this because the ultimate overall context of this is spiritual gifts of 1 Corinthians 12. The overall context is he's speaking of spiritual gifts, okay? And about different people saying, well, you know, I want to preach and I want to speak in tongues and I want this and I want that. No, you have to play your role in the body, okay? And that's ultimately what Paul's speaking about here, that we've got to play our role in the body. But there's one key issue. We've kind of already touched on it. There's one key issue. Your body functions according to what your head tells your body to do. Your body functions according to what your head tells your body to do. If when I walk around up here when I preach, my body functions because my brain is telling my legs to walk. And the upper leg picks up the lower leg, and the lower leg swings out, and you take a step. Now, if I go to walk, and my upper leg picks up the leg, and then the lower leg decides it wants to flap out to the side, you don't walk properly. Ask Pastor Steve. He had just had to have knee surgery, okay? The body's got to function as it's designed to function. The parts have to do what they're designed to do, or else it won't work. They have to follow the head, okay? Your legs have to obey the brain. And we have the similar issue in the church body. As our body parts must follow the direction of our brain, so the members of the church must follow the direction of Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about here. When he says in verse 16, the effectual working and the measure of every part. The effectual working, the effective working and the measure of every part. The measure, what he's given you to do. The effective working in what he's gifted you to do. And the spiritual gifts that he's given you to be able to perform your function in the church. The effectual working of it. You have to use, and I have to use, those spiritual gifts as they are empowered by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. That's the whole point here. The effectual working. Just as your body has to follow the impulses in the direction of your brain, we have to use our spiritual gifts at the impulse and at the direction of Jesus Christ. The effectual working of the measure. The effectual working of the gift that we have received. Okay? If it doesn't happen, the body doesn't function properly. If I try to take a step and my leg wants to go that way, body doesn't function properly. If you're not using your spiritual gift, if I'm not using my spiritual gift as I should, body doesn't function properly. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. Okay? If we're not doing those things, we're not being effective or effectual. The parts are not carrying out the measure of their gifting. Okay, So that's another thing to see. But here's a third thing, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because it's not blatantly in the scriptures, but I think it's there. There is no provision in the scriptures for a body part not to be part of the body. Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians. We read it in 1 Corinthians. It said, I forget if it said the hand or the foot, I'm not part of the body. I don't get to be a hand, so I'm not part of the body. There's no provision in the scriptures for a body part not to be part of the body. There's no provision in the scriptures, okay, for the arm or the leg to be off doing its own thing. Every body part has to be connected to the body. You've seen people who maybe they were born without a limb or arm, a hand, or maybe they were in an accident and they lost an arm and a hand. It's a disability. It's not natural. It's not normal. Okay? And it's the same with the body. Every body part has to be attached to the body. And that's the normal functioning. Sometimes you meet people that say things like this. Well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in organized religion, so I don't go to church. There's no provision in the scriptures for a body part not to be part of the body. There's no provision in the scriptures for there to be a body part that exists apart from the body. You sometimes hear people say, well, I'm a Christian, but you know, I don't need to go to church. I can sit at home and I can turn on the God channel and I can watch my favorite preacher on there. I can boot up the computer and check out the internet and watch my favorite preacher on there. I don't really need to go to church. I can be a Christian and not go to church. Well, there's only one problem. There's no provision in the scripture for that. There's no provision in the scripture for the Christian to exist outside of the body. There's no such thing in the body. I don't know if you had it here, but we had it when I was a kid, the Lone Ranger. There's no prescription for a Lone Ranger Christian. There's no provision for a Lone Ranger Christian. There's no say, well, you have a special dispensation. You don't have to be part of a local church. Just go out and do your own thing. It's okay. You can watch it online. Pick your favorite preacher. Watch it online. It's all good. No, there's no provision in the Bible for that. Every body part needs to be part of a body. Okay? There's no provision in Scripture for us to sit at home, listen to our favorite preacher, and reject being part of a local body. In the New Testament church, in the New Testament, in the books of the New Testament, the only believers that existed outside of the local church were there because they were being punished. People were only put out of the local church because there was unrepentant sin and they were under church discipline. Or Paul says in a couple places, I've kicked them out of the church so that Satan can have the destruction of their flesh. I put them out of church so that Satan can destroy their flesh. Anytime a believer was outside the church, it was because they were under judgment. It's because they were being expelled from the body. So the point is this, there is no provision in the scriptures for us to say, I don't have to be part of the local church. No, Paul says here, you have to be part of the body. The body parts are part of the body. And if the body's going to function properly, all the parts have to be there. Your body doesn't function if you don't have a heart. You die. All the body parts have to be there and have to be functioning in order for the body to work the way that it should. And finally, Paul tells us that when all the body parts are joined together and functioning together, taking their direction from Christ and using their gifts in the power, in his power for ministry, what does it say is the result? Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. When all those things are working together, all the body is joined together. We're not just joined together, but we're fitly and happily joined together. We're functioning together. We're taking our direction from our head, from Jesus Christ, and we're using our gifts as he empowers us to use our gifts. What is the result? The result is growth in the church. Maketh increase of the body. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about me going to the buffet and sitting down and getting fat, that kind of increase of the body. It's talking about the body is growing. The church is growing. People are being saved and added unto the church. And people in the church are being encouraged, edifying themselves in love. We're edifying one another. We're encouraging one another in love. That is the end result here. When we are all close to Christ as we should be and held together as we should be, using our gifts to minister in the power of the empowered by Christ, then Christ is able to increase the body. That's the point. And it doesn't come from us, okay? It doesn't come from us. The increase comes from Him, okay? The increase comes from Him. Go to Colossians 2:19. It's very clear. The increase comes from Him. Colossians 2:19. Now, this actually starts out as a rebuke. Okay, go to verse 18. He says this in Colossians 2:18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, in worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, and vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head. So he says, don't be deceived by these guys who are doing these things and they're not holding the head. Okay? But then the rest of verse 19 tells us the importance of the head. The head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. So where does the growth come from? It increases with the increase of God. The growth comes from God. The growth comes from Jesus Christ, who is the head. But when we're all together and doing the things that we're supposed to be doing and functioning as we're supposed to be functioning and all connected to Him and all staying close to Him and all reading our Bibles as we should and all following the Lord as we should, then He can give the increase. Then He can give us the increase. We have to do our part as He enables us, but the growth comes from Him. Jesus made it very clear. Matthew 16:18, what did he say? I will build my church. Pastor Ryan can't build the church. The church is 3 years old. If Pastor Ryan could build the church would be running like 500 people. But Pastor Ryan can't build the church. It doesn't go the way I want it to go, okay? Christ has to build the church. God has to build the church. And we have to do our part to enable it so that He can build the church. We have to function as we should, empowered by Him and through Him. So ultimately, church growth comes from Him. But in order for that to happen, we all have to stay close to Him, connected to Him, and ministering by His power. For a body to function and grow, it must be attached to the head. Jesus Christ is the head of the church and the head of every believer. And if we're going to grow, we must be closely connected to Him. On a personal level, if our relationship with Christ is strained, we're not going to grow. We're not going to grow as we should spiritually. If it's like, well, you know, I know it's Friday and I know I got to preach on Sunday, but I haven't bothered to read my Bible all week and I haven't prayed all week. And, you know, it's not going to work. You're not going to grow as you should. If you don't keep that connection with Jesus Christ, you're not going to grow as you should. That relationship is going to be strained and we're not going to grow. But we're not the only ones who will suffer. The entire body will suffer because we're not able to do our part. We're not able to function properly. We get this sometimes mistaken idea that what I do only affects me, but that's not true. If my relationship is strained, as the pastor, if my relationship with Jesus Christ is strained, you're not going to get fed as you ought to get fed. If my relationship with Jesus Christ is strained, I'm not going to facilitate the growth in your life that should be taking place. What we do doesn't just affect us, it affects other people. And if your relationship with Jesus Christ is strained, the body's not going to be able to function as it should because your relationship with Him is not going to be as strong as it should. So the first question you need to ask yourself is this. This is number one. Am I connected to the head? Am I connected to the head? Because if you're not connected to the head, you can't even be part of the body. There's only one way to get connected to the head. You have to be born again. You must be born again. You have to have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to understand that you're a sinner, you're separated from God, and Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin, and you come to Him in repentance and faith, and you trust in Jesus Christ. That's how you get connected to the head. And if you're not connected, you're not even part of the body. You can't even be part of the body. If you've never been born again, you're not connected to the head. But if you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor Ryan, I am connected to the head. I have been born again. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Then the question would be this. How is your connection? How's your connection? Is it a close connection? Or is the connection strained? He says here in verse number 16, the body fitly joined together. That means that it fits together perfectly, like the pieces in the puzzle. Are you fitly connected? Is the connection good? Or have I allowed the connection to slip? Is it strained? Am I exercising my spiritual gift to the edifying of the body and helping it grow? Is Christ empowering me to fulfill my role within the local church? If I'm not being empowered to exercise my spiritual gift, then maybe it's because I'm not as close to Jesus Christ as I should be. If I have a spiritual gift, and every person who's born again does have spiritual gifts, but if I have a spiritual gift, but I'm not being empowered to fulfill that gift, maybe it's because I call him Lord, Lord, and I'm not keeping his commandments. Maybe I'm not being empowered to fulfill my gift because I'm not doing what he says I ought to do. How's the connection? And are you being empowered to do your gifts? Maybe we're not yielded to him as we should be. If we want to see growth here at Community Baptist Church, all the body parts need to be connected to Christ and to each other. The hand is not part of the body if it's not connected to the arm. And if it's not connected to the upper arm, whatever it's called, whatever the real name for it is. We've all got to be connected to him, and we've got to be connected to one another. We need to be effectively using our gifts through his empowering, and we need to watch as he grows his church. So what's Paul talking about here? He's talking about our individual growth, and he's talking about our corporate growth, how the body grows. And the body only grows if it's connected to the head. It's got to be connected to the head, and this connection has to be strong. Let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless this morning. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for today. And Lord, I know that we've gone a little bit long this morning, but we talked about caring for life and had a lot of announcements today. And Father, I pray this morning that you would bless us, Lord, and you would help us to understand the truths of your word, Lord. You know that it's our heart's desire that this church would grow.